Welcome to Heart with Keisha B., the podcast that focuses on the journey of grief, healing, and overcoming unforeseen circumstances. Whether you're dealing with loss or life challenges, this is a podcast that you don't want to miss. I am your host, Keisha B. So take a deep breath, open your mind and your soul, and sit back as we embark on this journey together. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of Heart to Heart with Keisha B. As you know, each week I bring forth to you someone that's going to always be an impact to your life. So our topic today is From Challenges to Champions, a single mom's journey as she advocates and live her day-to-day life with her son, Christopher, who is autistic. Dawana, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Dawana. I want to first start by saying thank you for being here. I know that being here today is not always easy, right? It's not always easy to share your life, to share your day-to-day, but I want to thank you. I want to thank you for being very authentic and very willing to unpack your life and share it with our audience today. I definitely want to thank you for that.
Thank you for asking me to be on your podcast.
You're welcome, Dawana. So let me ask you a question. Before we dig deep into the conversation, how hard was this today to get on a platform like this to share you and to share Christopher?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if you know, I'm a true introvert. So, and I have bad anxiety. So I'm a little nervous, but I'm gonna do this. So that's one. That's why it was hard. But you know, this is something I'm passionate about, and I want to help people. You know what I'm saying? On this journey, our journey together, me and my son. So I said, you know what? I'm going to do it. And I want to help other special needs parents, especially single parents, moms or dads.
Well, thank you for that, because you said something I thought was very key, that you're able to put aside what you may be dealing with.
That's
right. For the sake of what's best for Christopher and what's best for the world. And that's why this podcast is here, right? Is to be able to open up and be very transparent, be very raw in a situation that sometimes we internalize because we think other people don't understand or they won't understand. So I want to thank you, Mom, for being able to say it's not about Dawana today, but it's about Christopher, Dawana, and helping others. So as we talk about Christopher being on the autism spectrum, I want to ask you some questions about that, because as we all know, this is something that we're seeing pretty common in today's world. We may have not noticed that, you know, when we were growing up in the 70s and the 80s, but it seems like it's being diagnosed more than maybe what it was years ago. So let me ask you a question, Dawana. Can you take us back to the moment when you suspected that Christopher may have been on autism spectrum?
Okay, yeah, because, you know, even before I had Christopher, I was working in the school system, working with kids. And then after I had Chris, I was working with the special needs. Mm-hmm. So I thank God for that, because I knew the signs and what to look for when I was dealing with, you know, special needs in the preschool classroom. And then the teacher, she was a preschool social education teacher. So that was even better. So, but the signs were just like, even as a baby, was no cooing, babble or nothing like that. Chris didn't talk. The eye contact wasn't there. If I can go a little bit deeper, he was playing with his feces, his poop. And I knew that wasn't normal, you know, just love playing with. So, and then his speech wasn't there. So I knew the signs. So I talked to my coworker, especially education teacher. And she said, well, by the time he got about maybe 2-3, I signed him up for the preschool classroom. And when he started preschool, and we was in the same classroom, so I thank God for that. So she said, and she observed, and then we had other specialists that come in sometimes to observe. So then we had a meeting. She said, Dawana, I feel as though you need to get him tested for autism. And I wasn't in denial. I already knew. So we got him tested, and we went from there. And I thank God for her, you know, just leading me and guiding me, and giving me some pointers and everything. It was a lot of signs that I already knew.
And so you talk about some of the developmental delays or signs that you may have seen early on. Yeah. I know that normally when mothers or parents are taking their children to well checkups, whether it's, you know, immediately after birth, you're taking a 3 month, the 6 month, the 9 month, the year, and the doctors normally, the pediatricians normally give a developmental sheet for parents to fill out. Yeah. Was there ever a time that when you were filling these questionnaires out that the doctor may have asked specific questions, or when you gave answers, the doctor may have had any type of concern?
So, and I was telling her and letting her know, and I was filling, like you said, filling out the, yet, you know, the forms and everything. And right, I say maybe after 2-3 years old, she referred me to an autism doctor. And we went right, and he's been going to her ever since he's been 3 or 4 years old, and she's been helping him, and you know what I'm saying? And back to the preschool teacher, once we got him diagnosed and everything, it's an IEP, it's an individualized educational plan. So we got that for him. So that means in school, elementary, junior high, up to high school, you can get all the services that they need to help them with their education, you know, their future. So like, for example, speech, OT service, whatever it may be for a disability child in this school setting, it is supposed to be in the IEP. You're supposed to get it for their child. If not, that's when the advocate comes in and sit with you, because some parents don't know. You know what I'm saying? Right. They don't know, and they don't know what to do. They don't know what to help. So that's when the advocate comes in and sit with you in the meetings and talk for you. So for your child, still yet to this day, I continue to get all the help I can for my son.
Yeah. So, Dawana, you mentioned some acronyms. I just want to make sure that our listeners, for those that may or may not know, you know, some of the steps in which you were taking that you had mentioned. You mentioned OT. Do you mind sharing with us what an OT is?
I'm so sorry. It's occupational therapy.
All right. And so I think I heard you say that Christopher was diagnosed with autism at three. And I heard you speak of the IEP. So now, was the IEP put in place when he was in preschool, or just when he began public school, starting in pre-K, when he started in kindergarten?
The IEP was in place in preschool and on up to now, present.
Okay. I think that's some good information, because even myself, I didn't even realize that you can start an IEP as early as preschool. But I'm happy that you're sharing that information with myself as well as for our listeners. So after you found out that Christopher was autistic, and you were able to sit down with your coworker, you were able to sit down with professionals. Tell me about when you had to share this information with your family.
Well, that's another good point, question, because my mom at the time, she was volunteering in his classroom, but she didn't know a lot about autism at the time, but she saw, you know what I'm saying? She saw with her own eyes, and then I broke it down to her and then to my stepdad. So, but they didn't know a lot, but as time progressed on, they saw for themselves what was happening and everything. And like I said, we wasn't in denial, you know, we just wanted to get the help that we can get so he can live a better life. You know, even my daughter, she was young at the time, but she knew, and you know, and she didn't feel no different way towards her brother. You know what I'm saying? That was her brother, still is her brother. She loved her brother, protective of her brother. So, but yeah, we were in denial. So we just wanted to get all the help we could.
So let's go here for a second, Dawana. You speak of your immediate family, those who are in the home with you, your mom, your stepdad. But let's be real, right? Let's be really raw. Sometimes other family members just ain't getting it. Right. Because other family members ain't in the home. They're not dealing with you. They're not dealing with your other loved ones. They're not dealing with Chris. And so they may not be as understanding. They may not be as willing to believe it. So how was it, without putting any family member specifically as far as their kinship out here, tell us about how other family may have received it and or not.
Well, yeah, I'm going to be raw, you know. I protect. I'm an overprotector. You know,
as
I protect my son. A lot of family didn't come around, you know what I'm saying? Or when they did, start staring at my son, you know what I'm saying? Like something, you know, like, and you know, me, I'm the type of parent, I'm going to call you out. What you looking at? You know what I'm saying? I'm the one of those parents, you know, my son is normal, just like you normal. He breathes just like you breathe. You know what I'm saying? You can't catch it by touching him or not going to break him, you know? till this day, family members still don't reach out. Mm-hmm. Can I do this? Mm-hmm. Can I give you a little break? Can I take him, you know, a mentor? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, like I said, it's just me, plan A, plan B, my parents. That's all I have. But, you know, but we keep going. Mm-hmm. And look, today he's 18 and he will be graduating May 23rd, 2025. And that's wonderful. You know, as a single mother, it's hard, but I'm doing it. I have my plan B. Sometimes plan B don't work, you know, all right. the time. And it's right back to plan A. But we keep going. We keep going. Like I said, it's not about me. It's not about my son. But right. we're teamwork. We're team mm-hmm. together. You know, yes. we're in this together. So, yeah. It's, like I said, you don't have family outside sometimes. All you have is yourself or your parents. That's all you have. That's mm-hmm. all I have. I speak for me. Right. You know? So, it shouldn't be like that, but it is.
Right. So, Dawana, let's go down this road because you've placed us there, right? Being a parent is tough for any parent, right? Because you have those unforeseen things that can take place. You know, you're raising your kids one way, you're hoping they're going to react this way, you know, so yeah. just being a parent in general comes with challenges because no one's provided a book to say, this is how you're going to parent child A, child B, and so forth. But being a single parent adds a whole different layer to parenthood.
Yes.
So let's talk about Dawana being a single parent, raising a child who's on the spectrum. Let's talk about emotionally. Let's talk about Dawana's mental health when it comes to being a mother who is a single mother raising a child who needs extra support.
You have a lot of good questions because sometimes we need, as a single parent myself, let me speak for myself because I can't speak for nobody else, but I'm going to try to help other single parents that might be dealing mentally. You feel like sometimes you want to break, but you know you can't break because you know you have your child that's dependent on you, that's looking up to you, and you know, and sometimes we just need, comes back to plan B. My parents, sometimes they give me a break. Sometimes, you know what I'm saying, when I ask or when they know that I'm right there on the edge sometimes that, mm-hmm. you know, but I love music. You find something that you like, that you're into. I love music. I love to sing. That helps me mentally. You know, of course, prayer. And then mm-hmm. sometimes, keep it real. And my son, it seems like he knows or he can feel tense when I'm tensed or emotional or, you know, having one of them days, crying days, sad days, frustration days. He knows. So I don't want to do that around him sometimes, you know, but sometimes he's just smart like that. He, you know, mm-hmm. he feels, you know, he senses it. But sometimes when he's downstairs on his iPad or watching his superhero movies or whatever, I'll come up, run to, you know, go in the bathroom like I'm cleaning, run the water, turn the water, that way he won't hear me. I get a good cry out. You know, mm-hmm. I'm just going to keep it real. You get a good cry out, you know, mm-hmm. and then, you know, do our breathing techniques, breathing, inhale, exhale. That's what I tell him. I have to take in consideration. I got to listen to my encouragement words. What I tell him, I got to do for myself too. Right. So, you know, I do my breathing techniques, you know, of course I look myself in the mirror, encourage myself, you know, mm-hmm. I got this, Dawana, God's got me, and just, yeah. you know, chin up, shoulders back. You know, sometimes we won't be super women, super men, but sometimes, you know, you just got to let that good cry out and, you know, just keep moving forward. But I believe I'm doing a pretty good job.
You know? I want to tell you, you are doing a very good job.
I appreciate it.
Right? You're welcome. You brought up some things that actually triggered my thought. You said, you know, I do some of the same things that Christopher is taught. The breathing mechanisms, the affirmations. Did you learn that on your own or have you as a mother had to seek additional support through therapy or is there other support groups for parents who are parents of children who are autistic?
Actually, I did that on my own. And then once I started entering like the support groups and these training courses and stuff, they was doing the same thing. You know, I was like, well, daggone, okay. You know, that's all right. Go ahead, deep. But yeah, they was doing the same thing, you know, the breathing techniques and even his therapist, you know, she was like, Ms. Dawana, you know what? We on the same page. Keep doing what you're doing because, you know, so, but I thank God for that because, you know, I just, some of it might, I don't know, I won't say common sense, but I just break it down to him and I keep it real with Christopher. You know what I'm saying? I don't hide anything. Well, he's 18 now, you know, the good, the bad, you know, I just talk to him, you know, and tell him what's what. And if he, you know, sometimes it's overwhelming, but we're going to take a break. We do what we do, breathe in together, talk about it. We're going to work through it. And then overwhelming, I tell him when he goes see his counselor, we're going to talk to her about it. And we're going to sit down and we're going to work it out together. So, yeah, I mean, like when I started entering these support groups and stuff, I said, man, they doing, and then they got the same problems that I have or some of them worse than I have, you know. I'm like, okay, I don't feel bad. I don't feel alone. So, you know, but yeah, we're on the same page.
Now, the support groups in which you're speaking of, are they online? Do you go somewhere here locally in the community, in your local community?
The way I found them, I found them on Facebook. Okay. There's a lot on Facebook. So you go on Facebook, you know, you might type in, you know, autism support groups or single parent autism support groups or whatever, you know. But if not, message me, Dawana Davis on Facebook. You know, I could help you. Google's my best friend. So, you know, I Google stuff, whatever I need information, you know, I Google it or whatever. Sometimes it's not what you know, either it's who you know. So, right. You know. My therapist, she'll, you know, I know such and such. Okay. That don't work. Come back. We'll get another number, another person, you know, so just all who you know.
So I know, Dawana, when you first start telling us the symptoms or the early signs that you were able to recognize in Christopher, I know that with autism, there's different spectrums. Do you mind sharing with us what spectrum Christopher is on and what does that look like?
Christopher's on level 2 spectrum.
Okay.
So level two, meaning just break it down. You need more work. You need more help. You need more guidance. You need more occupational therapy help. You need more counseling. You just need, you know, before we get on that level three, I'll try to get, you know, get all the help I can so we won't get on that level three. But if not, we just continue to get the help, you know. But yeah, right now, being 18, teenager, young man, young adult, mentally and physically, you know, body change, mentally, everything, you know. 18, sometimes he's out of high school, mentally. Sometimes he's a junior high, mentally. And sometimes he's at elementary, mentally. Right. So it's like everything's in one pot for me. You know, we're going through puberty, we're going through high school, we're going through elementary, middle school. So it's a lot to deal with, but we dealing, you know. So, but he's on level 2 for now.
So I know that when one is on the autistic spectrum, that you have some children or some people that are nonverbal and you have some that are verbal. Do you mind sharing with us if Christopher is verbal or nonverbal?
He's verbal, but when, once I say, I knew, like, we going back to the signs, he didn't talk as much. And he didn't talk, even when he needed to talk, he didn't talk. And once he started preschool, he didn't talk. And we have the best, we had the best therapist. And actually, he just graduated. He just graduated from speech this past summer. So that's how long he was going to speech since he was like 3 or 4 years old. And Christopher talks more than I can talk. He's an extrovert. I'm an introvert. He's an extrovert. He brings it out of me. But
yes,
going through, you know, speech therapy all that time. But now, and then sometimes yet he still have problems. But I understand what he's saying because, you know, it's my son. I'm around him 24/7. So I know, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, he speech A++++. Yes.
Wonderful. And I know that just based upon some of my experience as a therapist who have worked in a psychiatric hospital, and we had patients who were autistic. We had some that were verbal, nonverbal, and then we also had some that were physical and that were not. Do you mind sharing any of that if you feel comfortable? Has there ever been a time since you've known that Christopher is autistic that he's been physical?
No, he's not physical with me. Okay. He'll be physical with himself. He'll hurt himself. when he's frustrated or something, or I don't even see it coming sometimes. He'll just slap himself, you know, out of nowhere. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or he used to have marks where he slap or even his fist hit himself. He used to have marks, and he still have the marks there, you know. But yeah, he'll just hit himself. And being autistic, some kids don't feel pain.
Yeah.
Or they have a higher level of pain. Chris, he doesn't really like feel. It doesn't hurt him, you know. And I'm like, when he slapped, I was like, oh my God, did that hurt? But no, ma'am, no, ma'am. But yeah, he'll not me, but he'll hurt himself. So that's when the counselor, that's where we go, you know, we'll talk about that and deal with that as well. But yeah, it's himself. He'll hit himself.
So Dawana, you talked to us a lot about having support, moments of not having support, being a single mom, or because Plan B may have had some other things to do, right? Was there ever a time, or has there ever been a time that you felt hopeless while being a parent to Christopher?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, sometimes, you know, I'm just going to keep it real. You know, I question God, you know, like, why me? You know what I'm saying? What, you know, but come back and say, you know, to my remembrance, you know, I know God is not going to put too much on me that I can bear. So I know I got this. But there's been plenty of times where I just felt like I can't do this. Alone, single, and it's hard. And plus raising a boy, a young man, African-American man. So it's like, man, but, you know, I have to, there I go, encourage myself, talk to myself, and just, of course, and I've talked to my parents about this, and they encouraged me, my daughter, you know, just prayer and just get back on board and just, you know, do what I do. But there's been many a times, but we just keep doing what we're doing, you know, just try not to break, you know. And back to this, you know, even though Christopher sees a therapist, I've been thinking about seeing a therapist myself. Just keep it real, you know, just, you know, because there's a lot mentally sometimes, and it's hard, and I need to talk to, just like he needs to talk, I need to talk to someone too, you know, and get encouragement and know that I have this. So yeah, I've been thinking about seeing a therapist myself for 2025, you know, there's nothing wrong with it.
No, you know, and it goes back to Dawana again, no parents provided a book, right? No parent is given, you know, you can have two children, you can have three children, you can just have that one child. We're still not provided a book. And each parent, each child, we have to parent different, right? Yeah. And so with that comes stress. And so I highly commend you for saying, even here on this platform, hey, listen, I'm not perfect. There's moments I want to break. There's moments I question God. I have to do some affirmations. I have to say, girl, get it together.
Yes.
But there's a point to where you say, I may not have it all together. That's and I may need someone to give me that additional support or that different, or that I may need someone to give me some support or just the conversation of saying, you're doing a hell of a job.
That's it. Just talking to somebody. You know,
talking to someone will, you know, help us sometimes when we're just low on ourselves and we just don't have the confidence to think that we are doing well. You know, everyone else can tell you that you're doing well, but it's to believe it yourself that I am really doing well.
That's it.
So what has been some of your biggest challenges while raising Chris?
Well, we know being a single mother is one that, you know, and raising an autistic son, finding that time for myself. That D time, you know, because we need that. Single parents, a parent period, need that time to cope mentally and just get yourself back together. You know, you need a breather. You need an inhale, exhale without your child sometimes, you know, especially a special needs child. So because if I'm not okay, he's not okay. And I have to be okay in order to raise him. So, I need that D time sometimes. You know, I need a breather. I need to relax. That's why I go get my hair done sometimes and pedicure sometimes and just relax, you know, step outside in the real world sometimes, you know, see what's going on sometimes because I'm missing a lot, you know, you miss a lot sometimes. But yeah, I just need relaxation for me, you know. But yeah, that's a lot.
You brought up a word, Dawana, and I want to reassure you when you said step out here in the real world, right? Yes. Don't minimize your world. This is your real world. This is the world in which you're sharing with us today. So don't minimize it because I'm here to tell you that your world on days may be somewhat better than some people that's out here, what we're considering to be the real world, because you're able to love your son. You're able to be there. You're able to give him the encouragement that sometimes this real world ain't going to give him. Sometimes this real world is going to be criticizing him or judging him, but he has you in his corner to say, this is our world, baby, and we got it.
And I'm his voice all day,
every day. You're his voice, right? You're his voice. Yes. But I definitely understand what you said in regards to just needing a break, right? Yes. Just needing a moment just to be able to just woosaw, because things do get tough.
Yes. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You brought up something that I want to go back to. You brought up that some days Christopher just knows that something is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes.
And I go back to that because I know that sometimes the world hears the title or the phrase special needs, and they come up with all these misconceptions of what they believe special needs mean. What I know about special needs is that many individuals who are characterized as special needs have a gift.
Yes.
Let's talk about Christopher's gift.
I tell you, he has so many. It's just like, it blows my mind sometimes. I mean, Christopher, you know, he's 18, he's a senior. And I look at it like this, even as autism kids, very smart, and some go to college and some don't. And I'm here to say, you know, and no shame in my game. And I talk about my son, school, 12th grade is enough for him. You know, even with the IEP, you can go till you're 21.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, Mommy, 18 is enough for me. I said, but you ain't got twice. 18's enough. 18's enough for him. So after tomorrow, less than 4 months for him to graduate. But yeah, college is not for him. And I, you know, and he'll say it, I say, you know, there's nothing wrong with it because he has other gifts. He's, you know, he loves acting. He can watch a movie one time, one day, and memorize the word from word, line from line. He's great at reciting plays, movie scripts, any and everything. Christopher, he has, like I said, all kinds of talents and gifts. I just love him. You know, he's a great young man to be around. You know, and you would love him. You know, you hang out with him one time, it's like, oh, Chris, you know, you all right. And like I said, he knows, he can sense like when something's wrong or something, and he'll say, oh. Oh, I such and such, his teacher. Oh, something was wrong. I mean, I had to stop. I gave her a big hug, and they'll message me and say, "Man, Chris, he's all right," because he didn't know that I needed that hug. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, he's just a special kid all around. Yeah,
they may have not known that Christopher knew they needed that hug. Let's go back to that special gift. Chris felt something wasn't right. That's the energy around him wasn't right. And in his mind, he said, it's going to be right. And I'm going to make it right.
Yeah, let's get this together today, right now.
let's get this together. Yeah. So because I know Christopher, right, I want to be very transparent to our listeners here. Because I know Christopher.
Go ahead and say it.
Yeah. One thing I know about Christopher is that acting is what he desires to do.
Yes.
One person whom I know that he recites, interprets quite often is Tyler Perry, right? If anybody has the opportunity to follow his mother on her social media platform and close your eyes when you do it, right? You are going to assume that you are watching Madea or that you're listening to Madea. Because many days, you know, Dawana, I sit and I've watched many of your videos before. And I remember saying, you need to put this out here because he has a special gift.
Someone
needs to see his special gift. But even if I close my eyes, I wouldn't realize I was listening to Christopher, right? And so I say all of this because, again, society, and no shame on society, right? But society tends to not be as educated.
That's right.
On individuals that are outside of their norm.
That's right. Yes.
Okay? And so we have to get away from stigmatisms. We have to get away from all these negative connotations of what we believe a person is versus getting to know a person.
And I always say that I'm living in his world. You know, mm-hmm. it's like, welcome to my world, my life. So I'm in his world. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm just living in his world. You know, that's how I see it. You know, mm-hmm. that's what I believe. You know, mm-hmm. so, but you're right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, listeners, if there's anybody here who's listening to this podcast today, I want you to take an extra step after you listen to this to find Miss Dawana, which we're going to talk about Dawana a little bit later in regards to where you can find her. But I want you to make sure that you go find Dawana and just take some moments out and look at some of her videos, because I'm telling y'all, y'all going to be impressed, because I'm always thrown back every time I see Christopher doing his little videos. He makes me smile. And what I know about Christopher also is that he loves the Lord.
Yes, he does.
Right. That young man can pray. That young man can pray. And I don't think it's just because, you know, I don't think it's just because of mama. I don't think it's just because mama is a prayer. Right. I don't want to think it's because Pawpaw is a preacher and grandma is anointed. I want to say Christopher is a special individual. Christopher is anointed. And again, he is who he is because he is who he is.
That's it. Bottom line, period.
Yeah.
That's
it. Yeah. So, Dawana, as we've talked about Chris, and I've sort of talked about how society places some misconceptions on what special needs is, and I don't think it's with any malintent, right? I don't want to feel like that the professionals are not trying to educate people, but sometimes people's lack of willingness to learn causes them to not be well educated. And so as we talk about that, what are some misconceptions that you have encountered as a mother when it comes to people's beliefs about someone with autism?
Well, I wouldn't say the word, I'll say dislike. I mean, a pet peeve of mine is like, well, he doesn't look autistic. What does an autism person supposed to look like? Please explain that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you need a little, you know, some insight or clarity on what autism person supposed to look like. Tell me. I'm going to keep it real again. Even in the education system, the school system, I've had a few, you know, teachers that should retire. That's how long they've been in the system. And then when Christopher started, you know, high school, we had, you know, I think it was like teachers conference night or something. And she looked at Christopher up and down, like, and I'm looking at her, back to that mama, you know, I'm mm-hmm. looking at her. What are you looking at? You know, my son, what's wrong? She was like, well, what's wrong with him? He doesn't look autistic. I'm looking at her like, and how long you been in the education, special needs education field, special education class, all this time, and you asking my son what he looked like and what's wrong with him? And I was speechless. I was upset. It hurt my feelings. And I know, you know, and thank God he didn't hear that. My thing is, I just try to get all the help I can. Back to that. I try to get all the help I can for my son. So... Mm-hmm. He looks normal, or he is who he is, but I'm just speechless when it comes to that. I mean, my son's autistic. If you don't know my son, you haven't been, you just met my son today. Mm-hmm. You don't know anything about my son. You don't know he stams a lot. I mean, do I have to wear a shirt saying I'm an autistic mom all the time? That's how I feel sometimes. I have to wear mm-hmm. my autism mom hat sometimes just in order to shut people up or stop looking or stop staring sometimes. I'm sorry, but you know, it's like I have to explain myself, and I shouldn't have to explain myself all the time. You know, mm-hmm. or when he's out in the store, he stams a lot. He paces a lot. You know, he has the repetitive behaviors, you know, talking to himself a lot. And, you know, and it's increasing. His autism is increasing as he gets older. They mm-hmm. say it's supposed to decrease, but each autism person is different. So, mm-hmm. but his is increasing. And it's like, I let him be free. Do you. If that's what you got to do, I never have and never will stop him from being Chris. Right. You know? That's his way of coping. That's his, you know, if he's overwhelmed and he needs mm-hmm. to release, you pace all day, all night, baby. Do what you have to do. But I will never, ever mm-hmm. stop my son from being Christopher, you know. And, but yeah, people, they'll look at certain way, you know, but that's why I say I feel like I have to wear my autism gear all the time to protect me and my son, you know. But I get tired of that. And I just, you know, do you.
So, Dawana, you shared some of the things that Christopher is currently doing. And you mentioned a word that I want to make sure our audience and our listeners know what it is. Do you mind telling us what stemming is?
Oh, stemming could be anything. You could just pace back and forth. You could smack yourself, talk to yourself, whatever it is that, you know, you feel like you need to, like you're used to doing, or just things that you do, in your behaviors, you know what I'm saying? Or talk to yourself. That's just stemming. Mm-hmm. That's okay. Just, you know, there's just different things you stem from, you know, and, you know, bite your fingernails. That's stemming, you know, just little things, big things is you stem from.
And I heard you say that's sort of coping skills, even though one may not see as a coping skill, that's sort of one's coping skill that's on the spectrum.
Yes.
Let's go back to this teacher for a second, right? Let's go back to this teacher for a second. I'm going back to this teacher because I want to, as we're educating our audience, I want our parents and our guardians to understand what their rights are in the school system. Not just what the right is of the student, but what the right is of a parent as well. As Dawana stated, her child has an IEP, which any child that's in special education is going to have an IEP. Yes. Again, it's individualized educational plan.
Yes.
At the point that that teacher looked at you and began to question who Christopher was, technically is a violation.
Yes.
To him and his rights.
Yes.
Right.
And I definitely made sure that she was not in any of his or our IEP meetings. And I let that be known.
That brings me to advocating, right? Being able to anoint and having confidence to know that you can advocate for your child, whether it's in the school system, whether it's in a doctor's office, whether it's in society, and knowing that if you are faced with the same scenario that Dawana has been faced with of going into the school and someone saying something that you just don't feel is quite right, that's just inappropriate, take the next step. Go to the office, talk to the principal, talk to the counselor, and even if you have to go to the Board of Education, listeners, parents, do that. Continue to advocate in spaces where one cannot advocate for themselves.
That's right.
And so, I say that because, as we stated, you know, the student will have an IEP, which is going to protect the student, but the parents and the guardians must know that you, too, have a right to have a voice when it comes to making sure that your child, your loved one is provided the best care, the necessary care for he or she to succeed in the environments in which they may be in. So that leads me to Dawana, not just the mom, but Dawana, the advocate. Do you mind sharing with us moments throughout your parenting that you've had to advocate for Christopher? What did that look like? Did you face challenges? And if you did, how were they resolved?
Well, you know what? Let me tell you something. From day one, I've always been a hands-on mom. So if I didn't understand, I'm going to ask. And if I ask somebody something and they didn't know, I'm going to go to plan B, ask somebody else. But he's always had, except for this, when we got this one teacher. But other than that, besides that, he's always had great teachers, great aides, great therapists. So really, you know, and they knew what type of mother going in. They already knew who I was. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, and I said, I'm Miss Dee Dee on the clock, but I'm Dawana, Christopher's mother off the clock. You know what I'm saying? But they knew what type of parent I was and still am. So I really didn't. Mm-hmm. And I thank God for that. I didn't have a lot of challenges in this system, but the high school, that was really mainly, you know, the biggest one. But and I thank God, and I think about it all the time, because I know other parents, they message me and they talk to me about what problems their child or the teachers or, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, God, you really protected us throughout all preschool, all the way up to senior, you know, high school. And I, you know, a lot of parents can't say that. Mm-hmm. So, but I will. If I have to, but I've never missed an IEP meeting, never missed parent-teachers conference, sit in, whatever that need to be done when it comes to my son, I'm there. So, mm-hmm. and they know my voice. Yeah, I might be an introvert, but when it comes to my son, I'm right there in the IEP meetings, asking questions, advocate, whatever, you know, and then when something I'm concerned about, they get it done. We get the job done. You know what I'm saying? And if plan A don't work, that don't work for my son, we're going to go to plan B. Let's scratch that out. Go back to the drawing board. You know what I mean? Whatever has to be done for my son to have a normal life as possible, to live his life even after he graduates, because autism doesn't stop after 18. Right. We got to keep moving forward. So, mm-hmm. but we getting that high school under our belt, the diploma under our belt, and we're going to keep it moving. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I really, you know, I had a few challenges, but not as many as other parents hear and message me and, you know, talk to me. But I thank God for that.
So it sounds like what I hear you saying, Dawana, is it's very important to have a team, a supportive teamwork. Team on every level. Yes. Medical, educational, spiritual, yes. family. Yeah. That's all it. Those layers. Yeah.
You have to. And mm-hmm. if you don't, like I said, if you don't have a support group, message me. I'm on Facebook, Dawana Davis. You know, you just want to talk. I'm great listener. You know, sometimes you just need to talk to somebody, you know, mm-hmm. you know, bashing or you're not a negative, all that. Let's, you know, I'm here to support, encourage you. So, you know, whatever I can do to help you with your child or whatever, you just want to talk, whatever, message me.
So the one I'm going to go here, and I hope that my listeners will follow what we're saying and the reason that I'm asking this question. As we talk about misconceptions that individuals may have, let's talk about in the African-American community. Do you mind sharing of any misconceptions or challenges that you have seen to occur within the African-American community when we begin to talk about just any diagnoses, mm-hmm. but definitely autism?
And see, that's where I want to help our people that look like us. Mm-hmm. I want to help because our people, African-American people, understand. I mean, education-wise, or they'll say, oh, he's okay. She's okay. They're okay. They'll grow out of it. Or such and such had it in the family, and it didn't, you know. Well, if they didn't get help, and look how they are, what you think your son or daughter, you will need some help. Or they'll just mm-hmm. sweep it under the carpet. Oh, you know, it's okay. That's the biggest thing right there. We need to get information out here. We need to get all the help we can for our African-American community. And we need, you know, hands on. And I'm one parent advocate will help. And if you need a way to the doctor's office to get them tested, or if you need somebody, a specialist to test them, I'm here for it. Message me, because you're not hurting yourself. You're hurting your child, mm-hmm. you know, because in the long run, you're going to be wishing, oh, maybe I should have, could have, would have, mm-hmm. you know? And here they are out here in this cold, cruel world, don't know what to do, who to go to, you know, feeling helpless, you know? But if we can get on that now, right now, you know, and save the next child, African-American, in our community, let's do that. Mm-hmm. Let's do it, hands on. Because I always say that. I said, our people, we need to help our people. When it comes to, you know, autism, and you get the information, put it in your hand, right. and read it, you know, don't be in denial. Mm-hmm. This is something that's important to you, your child. Your child's going to thank you in the long run, yeah. you know? So you're helping your child. It's not about you. Put your feelings to the side. Mm-hmm. You know, you live, you know, yeah. you're an adult. You're the parent. Right. Put yourself to the side. Help your child. How much do you love your child?
Let me say that. That's a heart-to-heart right there when you say, how much do you love your child? Because what I know is, as parents, we go over and beyond, whether it's overspending.
Hello.
Whether it's being overprotective, but just being a parent. And again, every responsibility of a parent's going to look different, right?
Yep.
But I think you brought up something that I want to make sure our audience understand. Just because we keep saying, oh, cousin Bobby acted like this and he was okay. Cousin Bobby could have been autistic, but autism wasn't part of the DSM-4, part of DSM-5 in the 70s, because there wasn't one. They used the word crazy. Right.
They used the word
he's just different.
Yes, they mask it, you know? And people can mask it. until you get home or until you get to your, in your comfort zone, your space, and it's like, ooh, sigh, I can be me. Mm-hmm. But you still need help being you. You know, right. You still need that help. So get the help. Our people, get the help.
I think there's a conversation that can go on forever because for whatever the reason may be, right? And it's not to criticize anyone of their parenting decisions or how they was raised. But I think the real conversation is, why is it so often in African-American communities that we tend to not want to accept that mental health is real? Or why do we not want to accept that we may have a diagnosis in our family? It doesn't mean that we're not going to be successful. It doesn't mean that there's something completely wrong with us. It just means that we are who we are, right? Yes. And there's no such term, right? And there's no such thing as normal, right?
There you go.
You are normal, right? You can't compare yourself to the next person. Where I may be strong at, right? Where I may be strong at, the next person may not be. And where they may be strong, I may not be.
That's right.
And so I just, you know, it bothers me sometimes. One, I am a therapist by trade. You know, that's why I have my background in. And far too often we tend to, I'm going to use the word for what it really is. We tend to neglect.
There you go. That's
concerns.
It. Yeah.
Mental health is a medical concern. Mm-hmm. Autism is a medical concern. When you're not getting he or she the treatment that or she may need, you are neglecting their growth. You're neglecting their ability to be successful in the areas that God, okay, I'm put it there, has said he wants them to be successful. Who are we to do that?
And that's selfish. That's selfish of the parent. That's selfish of you.
Right. You know, listen, I want to reassure you that this is not to bash any person. No. It is just to educate you and say,
that's it.
It is okay. It is okay if your child may be doing something different than the next person. Just
that's
give
it.
Me, you know,
that's it.
You know, the one I think back to, I have three children, but I think back to two situations. I think back to my older son was ADHD. And I'm, even with my background in therapy, I'm like, oh, I don't want him on medication. Yeah. Oh, I don't want to do this. I wouldn't hurt anything with him. Right. And so I remember when I finally got him placed on medication, this is when it hurt my heart. I was walking out of his school one day and another teacher whom I did not know looked at me and said, you such and such mom. And I said, yeah. And I'm looking really strange thinking, why is this man asking me that question? What has he done again? Right. Mm-hmm. He said, thank you. I don't know what you have done, but he seems to be functioning much better.
Wow.
And seems to be confident in himself than what he ever has been. Just imagine how that felt as a parent.
I get it. You know, I know. Yes.
Here I am, an advocate in the school and everything, but myself, is of not wanting to medicate him out of fear. Was only causing problems for him academically, socially, and behaviorally.
Yeah.
Second situation, I have another child whom I knew as he was growing up that there were some things that just seemed to be a tad bit different than some of my other children.
Yeah.
And I told myself, I believe he's on the autistic spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
I had him tested. They said, I don't think he is. I think he's just... he has high anxiety. I'm thinking, it could be, right? Because that's some of the characteristics.
Could be,
but I'm watching the things that he is or is not doing when he's around certain people, right? Fast forward, time proceeds. Some trauma happened in our life. And then all the signs and symptoms became a little bit more apparent.
Mm-hmm.
And he and I had a conversation one day. And he and I began to talk even further into this conversation. And he looked at me and he said, Mom, and this brings tears to my eyes, as the host of the show.
Go right ahead.
I've already taken a test online to see if I was autistic.
Wow.
And I looked at him and I said, well, baby, how come you didn't say anything to me? He says, because I did not think you were going to believe me.
Wow.
And so as I sit here and we open up with our guests, it's not just about Dawana sharing her story, me saying to African-American people that we need to be mindful and that we need to do what's necessary, because where we may not want to accept, that child already has, because that child already knows what he or she is.
They already know.
On a day-to-day basis.
They're already dealing with it. They've already dealt with it. They've already found friends in their school, maybe that's just like them, you know?
Yeah, they're quirky, right? They're not quirky. They are who they are. And, you know, And as we talk about living in their world, you know, most people, just like you said, may even say, like, I didn't know that he was autistic. What does that look like?
That's it. Right? Bottom line.
And the reason that many people said, I didn't know he was autistic, is because he's a genius. And so that's all they saw, is that academically, he was always succeeding in school. He was always making A's. He was able to read by the time he was two. And so let me say this, parents, some children who are gifted potentially could be on the spectrum for what we once knew to be Asperger's.
That's right.
On the autistic spectrum. I share that with you because I live this life. I know, DeWanna, throughout our episode today, you've talked about Christopher being 18 years old. And as we know, 18 by law is a legal age to make a lot of decisions for oneself, whether it's medical decisions, whether it's educational decisions. But what does that look like for Christopher? Is there anything that you had to do differently now that he's 18?
Well, yes, that's a good question. This past July, actually, right before he turned 18, I was became his legal guardian. So full guardianship, it's a process. So, you know, you go to court, the child has a lawyer represent for them, you know, everything, but nothing easy. But yeah, now I'm his full legal guardian. You know, even after he graduates, we're just going to keep doing what we're doing. Sometimes routine, we can stick to it, and sometimes we can't stick to it. Mm-hmm. But he's going to get a job. He's excited about working, you know, so there's no pressure. So we're just going to take baby steps, maybe, you know, 10, 12 hours, you know what I'm saying, this week, you know, whatever is comfortable with him and for him. So, yes, because he's a mommy. I'm a grown man, mommy. I got to work. I got to help you pay these bills, mommy.
Oh, right now, son.
Well, you know, he's always talking about, because we go to Kroger's a lot and they know him. So he's like, mommy, I want to be a bagger. You know, I want to bag the groceries and stuff. So I'm like, well, buddy, you know, you graduate, you come on down here, you know. And they have a lot of special needs, you know, disability, young adults at Kroger's that's doing a wonderful job. So he's like, mommy, I want to be a bagger. Now, I don't want to be a cashier. I want to be a bagger. I'm going to tell them that, mommy. And he speaks his mind. You know, I don't think you let them know. But for, yeah, that's, you know, just continue to do what I'm doing. Just taking to his appointments and, you know, therapy sessions. Just, and we're just going to live life, you know, and we're going to try to meet Tyler Perry. I'm trying to, you know, them gifts.
Tyler, we hope you're watching this. Somebody get this to Tyler.
Know Tyler Perry, because I don't want him sitting on his gifts, you know, because I'm going to keep on pushing and encouraging him after he graduate. There's no setting down. There's no, you know, we might take a break. That's one thing people ask, well, what you going to do after you graduate? What you mean what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep being his mama. I'm going to keep being his guardian. I'm going to keep doing what we're doing. You know, we're going to keep living life and do what we do. So there's no taking no break. We're going to keep moving forward and live life.
Now, was that challenging for you to want to, I know that you're a single mom. Was that challenging for you to get guardianship, being that you are a single mother with the whole legal system in regards to titles and all those different things?
I started maybe back 10th, 11th grade, finding out about the guardianship and stuff. So back to hands-on mom, I got all the information and I was calling. They was like, well, sweetie, just call before, you know, he was like 15, 16 years old at the time. Well, sweetie, just call before he's 18. Okay. You have plenty of time. I said, well, you know, I just want to make sure I get all the information and know what I'm getting into and know the process and who I got to talk to and whatever.
As it may be different for our listeners based upon where they're geographically located at, who exactly did you have to talk to?
I called the courthouse. You have to call the courthouse, you know, talk to the clerk, and she'll give you the information, or she'll ask you for your address and everything. Leading up to that time when they turn 18, they'll send you a package. You fill out the package, and then they'll set you up a court date and time where you have to appear in court. You can go, you know, have someone to go represent. You can get your lawyer, but I represented my own self.
Just again, just another opportunity to educate our listeners. Is there a cost associated with becoming a guardian? And again, it could be different based upon where people are located.
Actually, it was a cost, but they the court paid for it. Basically, there's no fee. They'll say it in the paper, in the forms, unless you have your own lawyer. You know what I'm saying? Then I don't know, you know. You know, on that end, but they'll send you actually, I just got my first package in the mail, and you have to fill it out every year, even though it's the same questions. and you have to take it back. They'll give you a certain time to take it back before the end of the year, and you drop it off and they file it, and you know, it'll be in your file every year.
So, Dawana, I want to thank you for the advocacy work that you're doing for Chris. More importantly, I want to thank you for the advocacy work that you're doing for our listeners and those whom you have encountered on a regular basis. As an advocate, I do want to ask you, what are some practical ways that society can help support families like yours?
Well, we can stop by, just keep it real, you know, staring, whispering what's wrong with him or whatever, or he needs this, needs that. You don't even know my child. You don't know what's going on. I mean, if you're going to ask something, ask in a nice way, or thank you for you speak. If you know anybody, you know, you could help me. Don't be cruel, because this society can be cruel and mean. You know, you don't know our story. You don't know what's going on. I'm one of the mamas, I'll tell you. Be nice, be kind, be gentle, be understanding, you know?
As you have shared with us what you need from us, what is one heart-to-heart message that you would like to share to our listeners today when it comes to autism and the support?
Let's help one another. You know, let's listen to one another. If you don't know something, ask something. If you need guidance, support, I mean, let's just learn from one another. You know, help me help you, help one another. If you need help, I'm here for it. You know, whatever you need, like another special needs parents that don't know something that's new, reach out to me, you know, we all need that support. You can find it on Facebook. If not, then I'm here to help you find it on Facebook or whatever, you know, in your community. If you have a plan B, because we're plan A, the parents, we're always first. But if you have a plan B, get you a plan B. Plan B don't work out, maybe a plan C. But, you know, just reach out, talk, because it's hard to bottle, let all that bottled up inside of you. And especially if you're taking care of somebody that they need us, you know, they need us mentally, physically, emotionally. So just reach out, support one another. Bottom line.
So, Dawana, I know that you have mentioned several times throughout our episode today your name and that you are on TikTok and that you're on Facebook. But as we conclude this episode today, would you please state once again where our listeners can find you?
Dawana Davis, D-U-Y-U-A-N-A, Davis, and I'm on Facebook. So just message me if you just want to talk. If you have something that you don't know, just message me. I'm here for you.
Well, Dawana, again, thank you for being so transparent with us today. Thank you for being so vulnerable in a space that's so unknown, right? Because you don't know who you're speaking to today other than myself. I say that because your words, your message will be spread across and touch many lives today. So not only are you an advocate for Christopher, but you are an advocate for change for the rest of us. So thank you so much for being a guest on Heart to Heart with Keisha B. You have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to Heart to Heart with Keisha B. Remember, grief may shape our journey, but it doesn't define who we are. Healing is not a straight path, but with every step forward, you're creating space for hope, strength, and new beginnings. If today's episode brought you comfort or clarity, share it with someone who might need it too. Let's continue building this community of compassion and resilience together. Until next time, take care of your heart, your mind, and your soul. Honor your journey and always know that brighter days are ahead. I am Keisha B, and this has been Heart to Heart.